spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat.
Oh, I remember that. Laying on the floor watching television, that poor skier. That guy flipping end over end. Whatever became of him? I grew up in a family where my dad loved watching football. His oldest son, not me, one of my older brothers, loved watching football. I had no interest in sports to speak of. I mean, I played some in high school, but no real interest in sports. Now, as I've gotten older, I've become more like my dad, and I've become more interested in athletic competition. But for some, it's an obsession. I mentioned before that Jeff may not love all sports. I don't think he cares too much for baseball or golf. But when it comes to high school basketball, this is an illness. It's a sickness. He needs treatment. He needs some kind of medication. He needs help. It is a bona fide obsession. I'll just put it to you this way. Any of you who know Jeff, the only time he doesn't answer his phone is during an Edwardsville High School basketball game. It's the only time he doesn't answer his phone. An obsession with sports. Pastor Tom Chris joins us here for the next half hour, associate pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin, and he's written an article for Higher Things magazine titled American Sports Obsession. Pastor Chris, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Welcome back to you.
Thank you. Well, are you obsessed? Do you have a man crush on Brett Favre?
Well, you know, I am one of these people who would like to also say welcome back to Brett Favre, and I don't know if you've heard, he's thinking about coming back now, so I'm excited.
Excited is one thing, obsessed is another. Are you obsessed with sports in some form?
You know, I think there are probably times when we all lose the balance, and anything that you like and do in life, you're apt to sin, being a sinner, and so I confess there are times when I probably take it a little too far or watch a little bit too much football on a Sunday, and my wife lets me know. I don't know if I'd say that I personally am obsessed, but yeah, I think we all lose the balance sometimes.
What is it that I got into an email interchange several years ago with a listener when I made the statement that all human games involve deception. You can't play a game without engaging in deception. And I wasn't trying to condemn sports, but from a head fake on the part of a point guard, that's a lie. I'm sorry, it is. To, you know, fancy footwork on the part of a receiver trying to go out and run his pattern, that's also a lie. The listener said, well, are you saying sports are wrong? And I said, no, sports are games. Why do we take games so seriously?
Oh, I think there's lots of reasons that people do, you know. I think we can make anything into too much in life. You know, we can make anything into a god. We're not the only ones. You know, the ancient Israelites took the gold of the Egyptians and made them into a god. We can make money or power or radio program. No, did I say that? No. But I do think, you know, it's a matter of balance in life, and sinners are apt to lose their balance and take things too far, take good gifts that are enjoyable and godly and misuse and abuse them.
Make the case then, if you would, that, and it's not a difficult case to make, as you point out in your article, but make the case nonetheless that Americans are obsessed with sports.
Oh, my goodness. Anyone with their eyes open to our culture can see that sports are just everywhere. I mean, I think only about Milwaukee and the number of professional sports teams that we have here. We have, well, the Packers, pretty much everyone in Milwaukee is a Packers fan, you know. And then we have the Brewers, and then we have the Admirals hockey, and we have the Bucks basketball, and then we have a whole slew of, you know, minor league teams and whatnot. Sports are everywhere, college sports, you know, too. And I don't have all the statistics. I think it would probably be pretty easy to look up as to how much money, millions and millions of dollars we spend on sports, how much athletes are paid. I think I made the point in the article that many professional athletes make more than the President of the United States, for instance. You know, so yeah, it's a real easy case to make. I think you'd have a hard time arguing that America is not really intense when it comes to sports, and probably more so than most other nations, I would say.
Pastor Tom Crist is our guest. We're talking with him about our obsession with sports. He's associate pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin, and he's written an article for Higher Things magazine titled America's Sports Obsession. Tomorrow on the program, Pastor Bill Swirla is going to join us. You know, during our spring break, Jeff and I read an awful lot that people were writing on the internet. And one of the things that we read with great satisfaction was a short piece that Bill wrote on church bureaucracies, the institutionalization of the body of Christ. We're going to be talking about that tomorrow on Issues, Etc. Also, liberation theology with Dr. H. Wayne House of Faith Seminary tomorrow on the program. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE. If there are sports fans listening, feel free to give us a call or email us, talkback@issuesetc.org. When does it become wrong? I mean, it's obvious when the dad runs out onto the Little League field screaming his head off with his face red in anger, something's wrong. But when does it become wrong, this obsession with sports?
Well, you know, I think that's a hard thing to say. You know, I think that's a matter where the Christian has to do a lot of self-reflection and self-examination based on looking at God's Word and applying it to his life. And I think that's where, the catechism and, looking at the Ten Commandments, for instance, would come in. And you say, am I fearing, loving, or trusting in anything more than God himself? Well, am I making sports a god? Am I breaking the third commandment by, despising the preaching of God's word and staying home on Sunday to watch the pregame show instead of, go to church and hear the gospel? Am I not, and we're talking mostly about spectator sports here, but there's also the aspect of participating in sports where I think you've got, the fifth commandment. You can say, well, maybe this is a good way to care for the body and the life that God has given me and to participate in sports myself. I think we could all use more exercise in America,
How would you respond to a Christian who says, look, the Bible tells us not to be involved in empty pursuits, not to waste our time?
That's one thing that I think you have to be clear in your mind of what the purpose is of anything that you do, and including sports. I think that what I would argue is that sports, entertainment or sports participation, whatever you do, I think it would fall under the realm of relaxation and rest, which, I think God designed us to rest. And I think it's a pretty easy case to make that a healthy lifestyle involves a mixture of work and play, and the keeping that balance would be a healthy thing for a person to do. And if sports is one way that you find that healthy balance, then I think that you're applying, it's not an empty pursuit, but it's the pursuit of rest and relaxation, which can be a godly thing to do.
Talk about when it becomes, and this is probably more, although we have our soccer moms out there, it's probably more a father-son or father-daughter thing, where it becomes, in some ways, the essence of the parental relationship. Getting the kids to the practice, to the game, watching the games, and that becomes kind of the substance of the relationship.
Right, right. And then, I think of also the dad who puts, expectations on his son, usually, about, winning is everything, and losing perspective that this is only a game, and this is only a pastime, the fact is most of us are not going to be professional athletes, and so I think a realistic view of that is healthy too. But you know what? There are professional athletes out there. So maybe if you're one that has the talent to do that, then, more time spent on it. So much of this, there's no direct scriptural, thou shalt or thou shalt not about it. And I think, we sinners like to make things fit into nice legalistic little packages rather than struggle with how to apply God's word in a healthy and balanced way to our lives. So that's what I would argue you should do as a Christian.
Can sport, even for the person who is never going to make their living doing it like a professional athlete. Can sport be a godly Christian aspect of our vocation? That is our calling in this world to live before God in faith and before our neighbor in love.
Well, you know, be in the world, but not of it. I think that would be one way of being in the world, you know, as a pastor, even, you know, going to a sports game or talking about the, you know, the Brewers win over the Rockies the other night or the acquisition of the trade, you know, it's small talk, but it helps to build relationships with people. And, you know, I think it can be a springboard into other areas of life too. But yeah, I think we think about it in terms of vocation, you know, a calling. We wear many hats, don't we? You know, maybe one of my hats, my callings is as a coach of a sports team or little league or something. I think it can be that.
Pastor Tom Crist is our guest. When we come back, more on Obsession with Sports. You can join us, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Email us here in the studio. It's Thursday, July the 10th, and we're coming to you live. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Then coming up in about 15 minutes, Dr. Ben Witherington will join us to talk about that New Testament, pre-New Testament tablet that alleges to talk about a resurrected Messiah. We'll be right back. Will your church be one of the issues, etc., 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, look for the sponsors section at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,500 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Chaplain Greg Jans, David Cochran, Alan Hopfer, Jeff Boyle, Lorena Stuckwish, Pastor Randall Smith, James Jensen, Wendy Lancaster, and Joshua Pfeiffer, thanks for your support.
New technology, old theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
Issues Etc. is listener supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc. Coming up in about a half hour, Colleen Carroll Campbell will join us. She's written a column for today's St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Outrage at Gloucester girls is overwrought and misplaced. We'll talk about teen sex with Colleen Carroll Campbell coming up in about a half hour. I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Pastor Tom Crist is our guest. We're talking about our obsession with sports. Dennis in St. John's, Michigan writes this. He says, sports become a sin when you become a Lions fan. After all, as I pointed out to my University of Michigan pastor, no real Christian could possibly cheer for the Lions. We should all be cheering for the Packers. Besides, we win more. Go Pack. Thank you, Dennis, very much. And by the way, Dennis has the cutest grandbaby I've ever seen in my life. Obviously tongue-in-cheek here, Pastor Chris, but
I say amen and amen to that.
The loyalty, here, this I've noticed this among pastors. I am one, but pastors have a few annoying habits that I find common to them. And that is those that are sports fans will sometimes tend to carry their fandom loyalty into the church.
Yeah.
Is there anything wrong with this? Should they be neutral on things like that in politics?
I remember a story about a pastor once who prayed for the Packers on every game day, and then there's another one who insists that the Pyramids are, you know, during the Pentecost season are really green and gold, and you know, the color of the Packers. Sure, I think that it's an aspect of life, but it is one aspect of life, and I think pastors have to realize that not everybody is into sports, and not everybody, you know, appreciates sports. I know of another pastor very close to me who barely knows what the Super Bowl is, and I kind of tease him about that too. But I like anything, you know, cooking or stamp collecting or any hobby or avocation. I think sports is a common one, but it's not universal, and not everyone is going to be into it as you might be. So I think that's something to be sensitive to, sure.
This comes from Dave in Huntington, West Virginia, where he says, we often think of the ancient Greeks and Romans and their fondness and loyalty to the Olympians, but in fact, when the rubber meets the road, we see a tremendous interest in athletics. It's the heroes who are doing the heroic thing that are held up as the paragons of humanity. They are the ones that we have sculptures of, that we make, that make them perfect people, bigger than life, showing intricate musculature that no normal human would ever have. Education tended to center around athletic training. While this athletic training was useful in the labor of warfare, it was also used as the thing which would indicate your worth as a human. This view obviously runs counter to a biblical value of humans as those made in the image of God. What kind of changes, asks David in Huntington, West Virginia, have we seen in American culture as athletics have become evaluated to a higher priority than learning, understanding, and valuing people regardless of their physical ability?
It's a long question. But
well, he's drawing the analogy between the ancient Romans and Greeks, their obsession, their almost deification of their athletes, to ours. You think it's happening?
Well, I think it's similar in some ways and probably different in other ways. You know, I think the Greeks and the ancients, they kind of looked for the ideal man and more of an all-around sort of man, kind of least based on what that questioner was saying. I think that we have a tendency to idolize famous people who are famous for what they do, you know, just for being famous sometimes, but sports figures, you know, they're good at that one thing, maybe not necessarily so well-rounded. I remember once even, you know, as a Packer fan, Reggie White, beloved Packers player, Hall of Famer, now deceased, but he was on Jeopardy. And I was just astounded at how bad he was doing on Jeopardy. I was kind of embarrassed, you know. So, yeah, you know, they're who they are. They do what they do, and we can commend them for doing what they do well. I think that's also a Christian value that our doctrine of vocation would teach us. Whatever it is you do, do well. And we can commend that. But I think we have to be careful about when we turn people into role models and what we turn them into role models for. I think it's also a danger with so many professional sports athletes who are bad role models. And I could, you know, list off a bunch of those too, you know, criminals, thugs, and, you know, all kinds of trouble. Yeah, I think we have to be careful.
Robert in Fullerton, Nebraska writes, I have two questions for you and your guest. First, in a small town setting, often the school is the center of the community. Sporting events often become the most important activity. How can pastors and Christians in small towns speak on the issue of sports addiction in a way that is clear to the people that it can be dangerous or overly harsh? That's his first question. We'll get a second in just a moment. What's your response to that?
Well, I think it's a real basic understanding of God's word. You know, I frame my thinking with clear scriptural directions on life, and failing that, you know, then I go to the catechism and I try to think of how that would apply to a situation. So I think people who are well grounded in God's word and people who are well grounded and catechized will be better equipped to find the proper way of Christian living when it comes to sports or any other activity in life. So if an issue or a problem, you know, is a particular one in a setting, then I guess maybe the pastor could address it or, you know, in some way. But I don't know that I have a better, clearer prescription for that. And maybe that's also because I haven't really been in that particular context either.
Robert in Nebraska also asks this. He says, is boxing or kickboxing sinful in and of itself and against the fifth commandment, you shall not kill? Since these sports involve physical harm to someone else, I struggle with this question, he writes. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't have a great answer on that. I would struggle with that too. You know, honestly, I'm not a huge fan of those kind of sports. You know, the other one that's really popular today is this Ultimate Fighting Championship.
Oh, yeah.
Or UFC. A lot of people are into that. And I'm not sure, you know, it's... And then again, you might also say, you know, that sports like football and even some other sports, there's a high risk of injury.
I think injury might be...
Does that throw that into question as well?
Well, sometimes injury in football is not just an unintended consequence. I mean, sometimes knocking the stars out of the next guy is what you're trying to do.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes it is, yeah.
I often say that Pop American Christians, American evangelicals, are out there in the world looking for a sinless whatever, sinless right. job experience, sinless marriage, sinless parenting, and maybe even sinless sports. As we get our hands dirty as Christians in this world, can we ever say, well, I'm going to go out and play softball, and it will be an entirely God-pleasing event. There will be no sin involved in this particular inning of softball.
I can't imagine it, Todd. You know, we're all sinners. It's a sinful world. We're so infected and tainted by it. I don't think we even understand half of our sin. I think it's just it's part of life. That doesn't mean we should not try to be sensitive to it and be repentant of it when we examine ourselves. But I think there's also this risk of, you know, like you say, you know, thinking that you can find that perfect activity, that perfect sinless. Maybe it's golf. I don't know.
No.
No, it's not golf.
No, under no circumstances. Okay, 30 seconds with a Super Bowl Sunday comes around every year. And it's somehow in some churches, even some of our own churches, become one of the high holy days that the church celebrates. Maybe church even lets out early. Or the Super Bowl party after church somehow bleeds forward into Sunday morning, Lord's Day activities. What are your thoughts?
Well, I certainly think there are a lot of ways to go wrong with that, and I'm sure that we've heard, you know, of churches who've gone wrong with that. What I would say, though, is that you know, you can say in Scripture that there are some times when sports, like even battles and wars, are used as a metaphor for the salvation event, in that Christ is the victor. He gives us the victory. And Paul talks about running the race for the prize and looking forward to that. So I think, you know, there might be some applications you could make. I'd be a little hesitant to preach a whole sermon around the Super Bowl or anything like that. But maybe in an offhand remark or something, you can make connections. You can teach people using the sports example, I think.
Pastor Tom Crist is, by his own admission, a proselytizing Packer fan. He has a blog where he writes, preacherblog.blogspot.com, and preacherblog is spelled preach, the letter R, blog.blogspot.com. He's associate pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin, and he's written an article for Higher Things magazine titled America's Sports Obsession. Thank you for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd, and welcome back again.
Thank you. When we come back from this break, hour two of Issues Etc., Dr. Ben Witherington has taken an interesting tack when it comes to this stone tablet recently discovered, whereupon is allegedly written the story of a suffering and rising Messiah. He says, while the tablet may be perfectly authentic, it presents a real problem for classical, liberal, biblical scholarship, the kind of scholarship that wants to say that Jesus didn't say or do anything, or practically anything, that he said or did. They want to assign all of the Messiah elements of Jesus Christ to his overenthusiastic disciples that followed upon his death. What's the problem there? Dr. Witherington will explain that to us on the other side of this break. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned. More Issues Etc. next.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.